I want to be where you hear me and you don't see me and you're like, I know that's her.
Go. Let's go.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I have an incredible guest for you today. She is a rising star. She's been rising. The star has risen. Okay. She is an amazing flautist and vocalist, killing it. This modern jazz scene that I'm so excited about. She's leaning it. She's everywhere I look. I can't avoid her. I go see a show, she's there front and center. Ladies and gentlemen, make a ton of noise for Elena Pinderhughes.
I love that.
It's the arena walk-in.
I know. I need to get one of those for just to walk around.
Yeah, just good morning. The sun is out. And then you can stop it too. What's up? How are you?
I'm great. Good thank you for having you. Me. Good
yeah,
to see you too.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
I feel like the first time I saw you play was not too long ago, maybe a year or two with Herbie Hancock. I went and saw Herbie Hancock. I was so excited. I had like front row center.
I actually remember you in the front row because the front row at that show, I don't know who you were sitting with, but You guys were like really animated. And I was like, This is the energy we need. Thank you. You guys were like us. You guys were really in it.
I was with Zach. Shout out to Zach who threw that whole show.
Yes, Zach. Yes. Of course.
Love Zach. So him and I are big Herbie fans. So we were like, it was a cool moment. Like Zach booked Herbie. We were like sitting there.
That's the way.
It was
that's
great.
Perfect.
And then out comes Elena front and center. And wow, your performance was so incredible. Like you stand out so much. Like I've obviously seen many people play flute over many years, but to come out front with Herbie Hancock, right? And just surrounded by legends and to shine, right? And just to sound different is such a, it's such a hard thing to do on an instrument, right? To sound like you. And you do that so magnificently to where I was immediately just like, this girl is amazing. Then I go see Terrace Martin play. There's Elena front and center. I'm like, okay, I go to Hollywood Bowl. T-Pain and Layla. They're like, Elena comes out front and center. I'm like, okay. Then I'm like watching a video of Snarky Puppy. There you are front and center. I'm like, she's everywhere.
Thank you.
And so obviously everybody resonates with your incredible talent. So, but, and I know you're young and you're growing your career, but you're doing such a great job.
Thank you.
At just being seen, being there, and obviously being chosen by the top, most important, most proficient musicians and artists in the world are choosing you. So like, what sparked all this?
Man, I mean, I started like many of the musicians you've had on this podcast. I started really young.
Yeah.
I didn't come from a musical family in the normal sense that my parents didn't play, but my older brother started first. And I credit him with everything. He taught me everything I know. He is incredible. And so I kind of wanted to be just like him, like every little sister does. And so I followed in his footsteps. And he's a piano player, composer, vocalist, songwriter, all the things. And so
Samora.
Yes. Samora, his name's Samora Pinderhughes.
By the way, I love a cute sibling relationship. My brother and I are really close too. So like I love when like sibling and also siblings playing together is a very special thing.
It's really special. Yeah. And I think, you know, that was where it all really truly started for me. I just feel really lucky to have had a partner in learning all things music and all things expression and really somebody that knew me so well that he could push me, but also, you know, knew when to kind of let me fly my wings. And just, I feel really grateful for that. But that's where we started. And I come from the Bay Area where there's so many different types of music. I mean, you look left and there's jazz and you look right and there's Afro-Cuban music and you look up and there's gospel and you look to, you know, everything.
Absolutely.
And so since my parents didn't play, they just really just kind of brought us to, well, we started at this community center that used to have music almost every night and we would be there all the time. I mean, there's pictures of me on my dad's shoulders just like falling asleep on his head, you know, while he's like dancing with my mom at the community center. So that's kind of how we were exposed to a lot of musicians without having parents as musicians ourselves. And they just let those musicians, you know, musically raise us, which I'm really grateful for.
And then your brother gets really good.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you get really good. At like a really
hours of practice.
Like lots of practice. Like I know, so obviously musical family with your sibling. And so you have that community together and you have the community of Berkeley and that whole scene. But like, so you get really talented, but being very talented is one thing. Getting opportunities is another. How did you start getting opportunities?
So we were a part of this incredible music program that I also credit so, so much to, called, at the time it was called the Young Musicians Program. A ton of people from the Bay went through there, whether it be Ambrose or Kev Choice or like there's the list goes on, Justin Brown, all of us, like we all came through. And it's a music, it's a program that gave free music lessons
incredible
to kids all over the Bay Area. So I was there from 8 to 18.
Wow.
And the woman who, when I got there, was running it, was a woman named Daisy Newman, who passed recently. And she was like a second musical mom to me. Oh. And she was an incredible opera singer. She sang Leonard Bernstein.
Wow.
So she would call all these incredible musicians to come work with us. And I'm talking, I was 8, 9, 10 years old, all the way up to 18. And we had Marcus Belgrave, we had Patrice Rushen, we had Frank Foster, we had Ndugu Chancellor, we had everybody coming to work with us as kids.
Wow.
For like a week at a time, you know? And so, and we had really strict, with tons of practice hours. We were there from 8 to almost 6 p.m. every day, 5 days a week in the summer for 8 weeks. And then during
That's
the year,
amazing.
We would have lessons and everything.
Yeah.
So I was getting exposure to these legends as a kid.
And this was this like a publicly funded program, like a free?
And she is completely free.
Wow.
Completely, completely, completely free. And she would fundraise all year.
Yeah, of course. Gotta do
and
that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it used to be run at UC Berkeley, but now it's off campus. But it wasn't necessarily a campus program. She had to do all the funding, and we just had this incredible exposure. So like I started playing saxophone for a brief moment. It didn't end up being my instrument, but my teacher was Benny Maupin.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, for that to be a saxophone teacher, I didn't even know how to play the notes. And right. That was who was teaching me, you know, and I'm so grateful. Like, it's insane when you think about it. And I knew the magnitude at the time. I am grateful that she really instilled in us that we were so blessed to have those opportunities.
Yes. Like that's
and
not
I
normal.
Felt no. Yeah, yeah. And I felt that wasn't normal. And I understood that. But as I got older, some of those people I saw, you know, later on in life and got opportunities with them. Some I didn't, but that was like my first exposure to opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think also my first exposure to the work it takes to get the opportunities and like being prepared and all the things that prepared means, I guess, which you don't necessarily learn as a kid.
And
you're
also seeing that these people are human.
Yeah.
I think that's a big unlock. Just having this incredible talent be next to you, hearing them talk to you like a normal person, and then you hear them, you know, whatever, whether they're teaching you saxophone or flute or whatever it is.
Or telling you like, you're not there, you need to practice more.
Yeah.
Which also is just as important.
And
you
pushing
know?
You.
Yeah.
So then what?
Then I moved to New York.
Moved to New York.
I moved to New York. I went to school. Yeah. 18 for college. I went to Manhattan School of Music. I was so lucky. I'm so grateful for the opportunities that I have had because the week I moved to New York, I had a couple opportunities already. I was actually recording on Ambrose's album that week when I moved to New York.
Wow.
And then I went to school, started studying. And you know how it is in New York. I mean, there's just so many places where you meet so many musicians.
Yes.
And when the opportunity comes, you got to be ready. And if you are, they really embrace you.
Yeah.
They really, really embrace you. And so as the years went by in New York, I started getting different opportunities. People started calling me. Other people started seeing me, word of mouth, and it kind of just went from there.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
So you've always been special. Clearly, even you were 18, and they're like, "This girl is already ready. She is incredibly talented." So then, okay, so you start. So you're playing with Ambrose, and then so that's like first week in, or that's right when you get to New York. Amazing.
Yeah.
And like, who was there a next like key moment that was like, because I know it's so much practice. Obviously, you have gotten incredibly talented and gifted on your instrument, right? So that takes just the 10,000 hours, maybe call it even 20,000. But what are the things like all that boils together? Then what bursts to that next level for you?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple key things. Some in like my professional development, and some in my musical, like, this is how I feel as an artist development. Yeah. I always wanted to play in multiple styles.
Yeah.
And I always felt that my calling was to play in multiple styles. And when I make my own music, it's pulling from these different things. And, you know, a la Herbie, a la everybody, like, that's the legacy that we're coming from.
For sure.
Where, you know, jazz meets popular music, meets R&B, meets everything.
Yeah.
You know, hip hop meets
punk,
everything.
Soul,
you know,
everything.
All
of it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to make sure that I immersed myself in those different cultures, and whenever I could get those opportunities, that I killed them so I could get more.
The mindset, yo.
You know.
You are so there. This is why it all happened, Elena. This is why it keeps happening to you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, it's, as you know, it's like you do, it is like, okay, well, the opportunities come, but you also have to seek them, and you also have to be ready and yeah. do that study. And I just love different cultures of music. So
yeah.
When I was, I guess a sophomore in college, I got a call to play on one of Common's albums. And actually, it was amazing because it was Roy Harg was at the section. At wow. that session. It was my first time meeting Roy.
Amazing.
And it was, the call came from Mark Glasper. Thank
from
you, Robert.
From Robert Glasper?
Yeah.
So how did Robert see you? Just around New
around,
York?
Just being I actually around. Don't know the first time I met
yeah.
Rob, but I think maybe through my brother, maybe through Chief Adua, maybe through Tara. I'm not sure, but he's always been just always looked out for me and been such a light.
Okay, well, but hold on, because you're skipping. If all of a sudden Cole comes from Glasper, that could have come from Christian or that could have come from Terrace. So how'd you meet these guys? This is all just...
So that first call, I know that came from Rob because I hadn't met
right.
Tom yet. So
right. That makes sense.
That call came and he was also in that session.
Right.
So they called, they wanted flute, they wanted some trumpet, obviously. So they called Roy, the greatest. And we were all there, and I think, if I remember correctly, maybe Roy was playing at the Blue Note that week
yeah, okay.
or something, and we were at right. Electric Lady. So okay. it was all, you know, yeah. same area.
But still, to the point where Robert Glasper is already thinking of calling you for flute when he's calling Roy, like, you know what I mean? At that age, so...
Thank you.
Because Rob wouldn't just do that, there's, you know, like, he did it because you're incredible, right? And he was like, oh, I know who to call. You're the one.
I appreciate that.
I'm just speaking facts here, right? Like, so, yeah, so you don't remember how you met Rob?
I don't remember the exact
maybe
day.
Maybe Terrace, maybe Christian. You don't remember Terrace or Christian?
I know how I met both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think actually Terrace I met a little later than Rob. I know that for a fact. Rob and Chief are the same manager, so maybe through that,
Vincent.
Actually, Vincent.
Yeah.
But also, I was just young in New York at the time. Actually, I might have met Rob through James Francis.
Oh, that
those
makes
are my
sense.
Best friends.
Yeah,
and okay. I've known James since we were in high school.
Okay,
and that might be how.
Okay,
actually, but somewhere along the line,
in
and he's always been the best.
In the blurry networking, playing
yeah.
all day, shed
yeah.
club study.
Yeah, and
that's
so,
what's so amazing about yeah. New York and that area of New York, the
yeah.
whole Greenwich Village, like. The Blue Note scene,
all of
Smalls,
it.
The everything
yeah.
is, yeah, that's, yeah. And the schools are all right there.
Everything.
Just, yeah, everything's right there. It's amazing.
Everything's right there.
So I guess what's happening is you're just in it. You're all in. You're playing all the time. You're meeting people all the time. And when people see you, they resonate with you. They like you. They think you're super talented. And they call you because of that. And then you show up on time.
I do.
Or a few minutes late, but you communicate.
Precisely.
So you're reliable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think at the same time, so all that is happening in the professional world. And then in the personal musical reality, I'm saying to myself, okay, the flute is an instrument that is less common.
Yeah.
How can I make it so that people really want to call me?
Yeah.
In an instance where they might not say, oh, I want the flute.
Right.
Like they're going to want that. How do I make them want that? Because I have to be so good that they're like, okay, let me take this non-traditional instrument that I didn't necessarily need before. And obviously there's examples like Huber who did it and so many, you know, amazing pillars, but it's like a little less common than
for
something
sure.
like saxophone or trumpet.
Yeah.
In multiple genres, yeah. you know, usually used as a double in every genre that I was interested in.
Yeah.
And so that was what was going on in my world where I was like, okay, no, I have to keep getting better because I have, otherwise I won't work.
Absolutely.
Type of, that was like my mentality.
And so what did you unlock within yourself?
I studied with this incredible flute teacher when I was at school, classical flute teacher, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Linda Chesses. And she helped me unlock like a next level of sound and power in sound.
Yeah, because your sound is... probably my favorite part of
thank
like
you.
You make the flute sound so pleasant. Every note you add, whether it's the space you choose or you playing, Yeah, it's you add so much, even to an artist as iconic as Herbie Hancock. And not to just keep blowing you up.
No, I'm gonna keep blowing
you
up.
I mean, it's like I'm here, you know, I wanted you on just because I'm a fan. Like, we made friends and everything, but I'm just like, you know, you are so special. Like, your sound is so special. That's why I keep getting the call.
Thank you. And I mean, when I was like looking at all the people that meant the most to me in my own musical upbringing, whether it's a vocalist or an instrumentalist, I was like, sound is what does it. Like, that's when you I want to be where you hear me and you don't see me and you're like, I know that's her. And that was the goal. And so
how do you do that on an instrument that so many people have? Is it like mic placement? Is it where you choose to put your breath? Is it the flute? It's all these things.
But I know, like, this sounds funny, but it's intention.
Yeah, intention.
Honestly.
I love that.
I mean, and like once you get the sound, like a ton of long tones and all the, you know, all those technical things. But really for me, it was an intention thing. It was a how do I figure out how to actually truly transfer these emotions and make sure that the audience is feeling exactly what was intended. Or maybe not exactly what I intended, but something.
Yeah.
Whatever their version of that is, because they might be going through something completely different.
Right.
But that to make sure that they feel whatever I'm giving.
Yes.
And it was an intention thing. It was a almost like unlocking a different level of urgency in the playing. I think I thought that I was playing full out, and I was not playing full out at all.
Right.
I think I remember when I started playing full out how tired I was. It was like an actual, like, I needed to do more exercise. It was like more crunches, more abs, more weights. Like, that's, I was musically doing that, and I was floored because I had been playing for I don't know how many years without doing that level of
training.
Of like, you know what I mean? Like, giving it that. So I think that was part of it. Intention. And connecting to emotion, really kind of getting back to story, which to me is the most important part of everything. Like, not all the flurries, but how am I feeling? The like most basic of emotion, and that being the most important thing, I think.
That's
for
so
me.
Important.
Yeah.
That's so important. It comes across.
Thank you.
It does. Because it's you're not just a musician. That's what makes you an artist. No, that's what makes you, even though you sing as well and have a wonderful voice, but when that's what's making your flute sing, right? Like,
I think they're the same. Yeah. I also realized that, like, when I was singing and playing, I was like, oh, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's really the same. It's just, how do I do this with buttons and a tube?
Okay, so New York, Glasper, Christian, Common, then what?
Then I started touring a good amount then with those guys. I was on the
with
road
Common?
Chief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And with Chief. Was he Christian or Chief at the time?
At the time it was Christian.
Christian, yeah.
And
so that was like your first touring gig?
He was the first person to take me on the road. Like, to really take me on the road full time.
Yeah.
He was the first person.
Man,
and bless
him. What a great guy.
Bro, like, he called my dad and was like, talk to my parents, because I was really young. And he was like, hey.
How young?
18.
18. So that all happened in the first year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he, you know, he talked to them and he was just like, hey, I just want you guys to know, you know, this is how you reach me. I'm going to make sure she's taken care of. She's going to be all good. Met them, like everything that you would want.
Wow.
So that they felt safe.
He's the best.
He really is.
Chief Adjua, dude, much love. Such an intelligent guy. Oh my God. Talk about, and it's funny because you use the word intention. That's the same feeling I get from him.
And I remember going to one of his shows at Monterey Jazz Festival years ago.
Yeah.
And seeing like the fire that they played with, and that was his previous group, and I mean it was like insane. It was Jim Meyer, it was Chris Funn, it was like it was just insane. Matt Stevens, and they were just playing with like this. It was just going. It was like literally smoke coming off the you know, off the stage.
He knows so much about music history too, and what a great mentor.
Absolutely.
Big brother person to have as your first touring artist that you're sitting there supporting and soaking up.
Absolutely.
While you're already being put on this pedestal deservingly, but still you're just learning and you being a sponge to have him next to you.
No, and also just like we both have such a love for different musics of the diaspora.
Yeah.
Like all the way up to West Africa, different parts of the Caribbean, like different things. So we were musically, I felt so at home in that way because I had grown up on all those different types of music that you know, New Orleans is a melting pot of all those things.
Absolutely.
So. Him coming from there and me having those different types of music, that was amazing. So yeah, he took me on the road. I went on the road with Common, and then I started going on the road with Herbie.
Okay.
Yeah. And those were like the first, like the three big, like most consistent touring gigs that I had at the beginning of my
career. So how did you get the gig with Herbie Hancock?
So that one, I went through a program in the Bay Area called San Francisco Jazz All-Stars. Mm-hmm. It's a high school program. And they were having a, actually, I think it was a, maybe a stop on the campaign trail for Obama.
Okay.
At the time for the second election. Or, yes, I think so. Yeah. And so they were doing an event. And Herbie was there with Esperanza Spalding and Herbie and Josh Redman. And they had me come back to play, to like guest as a representative of their youth program. And the director
at
the
time. So you were chosen as the guest.
For like the youth side of things.
For the youth side.
Yeah. And they were the guests as the.
Right. Herbie and Esperanza and who?
As the Josh Redman.
Jeez.
So like they were the legends and I was like the youth representative. Right?
You were the youth representative. Already yeah. They chose. So the youth chose like, Elena.
Like, right.
Here's Herbie, Joshua,
right.
And Esperanza.
So we were supposed to play separate.
Yeah.
Because I was playing with the high schoolers at the time.
Okay,
but
got
I
it.
Was in college.
Yeah.
So they brought me back. And Randall Klein, who was the director of SF Jazz and who founded it, was like, hey, you want to sit with them? And I was like, do I want to sit in with them? Yes. He was like, okay, sit in, play one song. And I was like, okay, bet. And so we played one song.
What song?
It was either Watermelon Man or Chameleon.
Amazing.
And I can't remember which one. I can't remember which one. And that was my first time meeting Esperanza. I knew Josh because Josh and I went to the same high school.
Wow.
So he's also from Berkeley. I knew him coming up because we did the same. Like, he came through the program and he would come back and check on us.
But that was Esperanza and Herbie's first time seeing you.
Yes. And so we played that song. Obviously, I'm like flying in the stars. Like, that was the most insane thing ever.
Were you nervous?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very.
For sure.
Flute
seems like a hard instrument if you're nervous to try it. You got to control that, right?
That's a good point. You're like shaking.
You're like,
no, I don't shake, but like I feel it in my stomach. But I think I was nervous because not only is he the legend, but like the amount of time my brother and I spent listening to Herbie,
you were also so ready because of that. You're like, I played along to all these records.
All the records. And also like
times.
All the flute that he used with
yes.
Hubert. Like
yes.
There were so many connections that made me just, you know, be so in love with his whole catalog and study it and the whole thing. So
and some of the most iconic flute melodies ever.
And then everything that I stand for musically in terms of genre and opening genre up, he's a pioneer for, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So had that insane experience, got to talk to him a little bit afterwards. Some years went by. I would see them a few times on the road at some of the festivals in the summer because that's when everybody sees each other. So whether it be like North Sea or different things.
Yeah.
Very, you know, probably said hello maybe 1-2 times from afar. Would always watch their shows. And then I got an email from him and he invited me to come play on his record. Which is not out. So
with Terrace.
Terrace wasn't at that session, but he was at the next one.
Right.
But yes, exactly. That same record.
By the way, I've been hearing this record for 6 years.
Exactly. So that record he asked me to come play on.
Which it's amazing, by the way.
It's very amazing.
It is really amazing. Please put it out.
It's very amazing.
It is very amazing.
It's very amazing. And it's so, I mean, it's incredible.
So
I think I've only heard
an email from Herbie Hancock.
An email, and essentially he had been, I don't know, watching me. He didn't exactly say, but I think he had been kind of keeping tabs and seeing what I was doing. And he invited me to come record, and I came to the studio and talked with him for a while and just worked on this music.
What do you do when you get the email from Herbie Hancock? Go straight to your brother.
Yeah.
First,
I called him immediately after screaming, but
after
yes.
Screaming. I can only imagine the feeling of seeing that in your inbox. Just like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I think I was just like,
Herbie Hancock at AOL.com.
Right. You're like, is this spam?
My God.
No, I'm just kidding.
Is this real? Yeah.
Yeah. Is someone pranking me?
Yeah.
I came here and worked on a couple songs with them, one of which me and my brother got to co-write the lyrics to. And the amazing thing about that and everybody that's come across him or even heard him speak knows he's so like otherworldly in how he thinks about the world and its connectedness. And so he sat down and talked to us about what that was about. And then we got to write that and work on that. And then I got to do another song that was.
Wait, so you brought in your brother?
Well, he wasn't there. I did bring him in.
Right.
Yes, I brought him in. He wasn't there that day, but then he came and we worked on this stuff together.
Because Herbie was just like, okay, you're just gonna.
Well, he knew. Yeah. I think he knew of him, or he knew him in some way. He's so hip I might to have the been scene, a connector,
man.
But he knows everything.
Herbie's listening,
he knows
man. He's
everything, paying attention. And I'm like, wow, you know everything. So yeah, I brought in my brother, and we worked on that, wow. And then after that, he invited me to come guest on some dates. They were in the middle of a tour, so I came and jumped on the last leg. Wow. And Terrace was on that.
Yeah.
And that was like my first time really getting to work with and meet Terrace in that way.
And that was
incredible.
Vinny Caluta on drums,
Vinny,
right? Jeez.
And Leonella Wicke, yeah. And Terrace and Herbie and James Genus. yeah.
Great and ensemble.
Insane ensemble.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was crazy because we also got to play in my hometown. We played at the Greek. We did
Which
Hollywood
is one of the
Bowl.
Coolest venues ever, like, the Berkeley Greek. Oh my God.
You know, my whole family came, like all my mentors came. It was like, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful
you're
show.
Like, I'm doing this. Like at that point, do you look around on stage and you're just like, oh my God.
Well, here's the thing. Yes. But I also learned so much because a couple times, like, you know, if I missed a hit or did this, I was like, oh my gosh, I missed a hit. And they were like, no, you're good. Just keep going.
Yeah.
That's not how we think about this. Yeah. Like Herbie wasn't thinking about it like that.
That's Jazz 101 right there. You hit the wrong note.
You know? And I remember playing something that I thought wasn't really it. And then Herbie took it and put it in his right hand and reharmed the whole thing. And I was like, was that what I just played? Like
he made it
sound so insanely amazing. And I was like, okay, I get it. But yes, no, you're looking around. I mean, I don't think there was ever a moment, even after years of touring, that he's the best one on stage by miles.
Yeah.
Like, and by best, I don't even mean as a musician, because obviously, yes, but as a thinker, as a
presence,
creator. Like, it's just, you know, he's his mind and the way that he's able to translate it into music is insane. So I learned so much every night.
How old were you at that point? 21?
Something like that, yeah.
So you're 21 years old.
Yeah.
And you're playing with Herbie Hancock and Leonel and Vinny Caluta and James and Terrace and everything. And you're playing the Greek and these venues and you're hearing Herbie in your ears.
Yeah. Yeah. I love ears. I was so happy that we could be on ears. We'll get to that later.
Can I get more Herbie Hancock in my ears?
Right. Like literally my keyboard.
Yeah. Which keyboard?
Right. Exactly.
Like, yeah, do you realize in that moment where you are at?
No, I'm not very good at that.
You are clearly present because I can tell in your performance that you're present in that moment, but you're not present, what, in terms of like career moment?
I'm not really the best at feeling, or maybe it's not the best or not the best, but I think I'm always thinking about just growing,
yeah,
getting better, doing better on the next gig.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple moments where I always feel very grateful.
Yeah.
That I feel, I'm like, wow, I feel really grateful. And I occasionally can be like, wow, like I feel really good about the work that I did to put in this.
Yes.
To get here. But I'm not the best at being like, I'm never going to be like, it's never going to be like, I made it. Like,
no, it's not about I made it. One of my favorite things that anyone's ever said to me is Jimmy Jam told me his mentality with him and Terry Lewis is not I made it. It's I'm making it.
Yes. And I love that. And I think you can say, okay, this is something that I never thought I would have the opportunity to do. And I am doing it, and I'm doing a good job, and I'm proud of myself for that. And that I do try to like.
You got to celebrate
in,
all these
little
victories.
Yeah, and I'm working on that. I got to be better. I'm working
Come on
it.
Now.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to because I mean that is life. You're just going to be. You've already had so many incredible achievements. It's going to keep going.
Yeah.
Got to enjoy them.
No, for sure.
Celebrate them because if not, you're just going to be like, "What's the
my
next
mom
one?
Is
What's
good at that.
One?
She'll
What's
call me and be
one?
Like, "Are you feeling good?" And I'm like, "She's like, if not, you really should be." I'm like, "Thanks, mom."
Let's go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
That's how I always celebrate food.
Exactly. No, it's like, take me salt and straw.
Oh, salt and straw. That's a heavy one. So
I didn't
good.
Discover that until I moved to LA, and I was like, I shouldn't have never found out about
salt
that.
Salt and straw is like the devil.
It's the best
it's too
ice
good.
Cream ever. I stand on that.
It's too good.
It's so good.
I don't even allow myself it.
I know.
Because I
no,
feel like
me
I
neither.
Turn into like an addict.
No, same. I was like, there's no reason I need to have a pint in my freezer.
Yeah.
It's
no,
not
the
necessary.
Pint, you clearly must have some sort of self-control. I do not when it comes to that. If there is a pint in my fridge.
It's gone.
The first time it's taken out of the fridge, it doesn't go back
it's
in.
It's too good. It's too good. The coffee ones are the one I cannot.
See, and then I just want to always try a new one.
And they will let you.
They're experimenting. Every
single one.
God, this isn't an ice cream pod.
But yes.
Could be, though.
Exactly.
Okay, so stick on Herbie for a second, because this is, I mean, you are one of the few people to be able to experience this, right? There's maybe only been dozens ever that have been able to experience being a collaborator of Herbie's.
Yeah.
And of this new jazz scene, you're in a handful.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of talk about the feeling for you, and also, like, what are the lessons, some of the lessons that you're learning from Herbie?
Yeah.
Because he's the teacher.
He is. I think one of the biggest lessons is to never stop learning.
Yeah.
He's always learning. He's always open. His mind is so open.
Yeah.
To not just music, but to life and to every type of art and every artist. And I was so grateful too, because I mean, he started when he was the younger than me when I joined his band.
Yeah.
Is when he's playing with Miles. So it's like, it, you know, it's in a lot of ways, he knew what that felt like. Even though it's a different situation for sure.
Yeah.
And I think I just feel so blessed that he really like let me be me. He didn't give direction as to like, oh, do this or don't do this. He really wants to hear you.
Yeah.
And he you know, I actually remember like times when I would stretch more, like go for it more, he'd be like, do that.
Yes.
Like, go, you know? So I think, yeah, about learning and also about, I mean, the dream is to have a career as long as his, you know, about longevity, about taking care of yourself. He's, you know, he's really like, he takes care of himself.
He's
and that's
up
why
and down
he's
on
able
stage.
To jump at that age and be in better shape than everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think, you know, as somebody who really thinks about how to take care of yourself on the road and how to be, you know, healthy in this industry that's not always geared toward health.
For sure.
I think that's also, you know, outside of the music, something that I really admire and have learned from him.
Yeah.
And I think also just how to seamlessly blend and create new music that stems from these different styles or do something that people might not expect of you.
Yes.
And I've had that conversation with him about like, you know, when you're doing something and people think that you're going to do something else, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And how do you stay and sit grounded in that, knowing that that's what you want to do and that's really what's in your heart, but maybe somebody wants something else of you, you know?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And what does that mean? And how can you stay grounded in that and focus on what your vision is?
And a big part of the lesson is really probably what I would take from that is Herbie just choosing the right people. And if you choose the right people, you can let them fly.
Yeah. Yeah. And sticking to his vision. Yeah. I mean, you know, at the time that he did some of these, what we now see as like some of our favorite records, it was bold for him to make those musical choices.
Absolutely.
You know, and he was doing new things. I mean, guitar and doing
experimenting with synths.
Right. Yeah, synths and pop and all these different things that you don't, you know, it wasn't what people had heard from him before.
For
and,
sure.
You know, I love that. I keep that in my head. I'm like, no, like that's the journey we're on.
Yes. Yes. Cause yeah. And here's a man in his 80s still performing at the highest level.
Right.
Thinking.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. It's amazing. What's your favorite Herbie song to play?
Oh, it's one of the unreleased ones.
Oh, you guys are playing it though?
I'm not gonna lie, we were playing it. Yeah.
Okay.
We were playing it. It was, it's funny because it's actually like, it didn't have a title.
Yeah.
But that's my favorite one.
Ooh,
yeah.
And you're on it on the record?
I'm actually not on that on the record. It's one of Lionel's and it's my favorite one.
Come on, Herbie, put this record out. Can I help?
Like literally, like I could tell you that is 100% bar none my favorite song.
Herbie Hancock, we love you so much. Yeah. We want this
and
album.
Hearing him comp on it like you suggest, and also my favorite, one of my favorite moments of the set is he actually does a solo moment, and that's my favorite because you get to just hear him do him, and we all used to just sit there and be like, I could listen to this for 6 hours.
Was there a moment like the first time, because you are front and center on the Herbie Hancock stage? Yeah. Herbie is stage right. Is he like, Alana, you're in the middle, like, and are you just like like you said, you finished and then you looked, you're okay, Herbie solo?
I mean, you know, there were moments where I was like, wow, this is, you know, this feels, or playing after him and like just trying to figure out how to, you know, pull from some of the energies that he was giving out, which were amazing.
Trading fours with him.
Trading Fours. Yes. Trading Fours. And trying to keep up.
Trading Fours with Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
So great.
His ears are insane. I don't, there was never something that I did that he was catching it before I even put it, before I even reeled it out.
And he's damn cool about it too.
Yeah. He'll be like, aha. It's, okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so,
so
great.
No, I feel beyond blessed to have had that opportunity.
Absolutely. And so, okay, so Esperanza, you've been working with too. I know you guys have a record together.
That was the first time I've worked with her since.
Oh, really?
Yes. I hadn't worked with her. And Milton Nascimento, I grew up on Milton Nascimento.
Wow.
Like, when I told my mom that I was playing there, she was like, Milton Nascimento. Like, that's probably the most excited that she's ever been. She was like, Milton Nascimento's the album? And I was like, yes.
That's so cool.
So, you know, what an honor for that. Because, you know, we all have this massive love for him and his music. And that's something that I never expected to be on an album with him or with her. I mean, I thank her so much for bringing me on for those songs. I was really excited about that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. And so, okay, keep
going.
They
just got nominated for a Grammy too. I think.
For this year?
I think they did. Yeah.
Let's
I'm pretty
go.
Sure.
Well, Grammy season is coming. Yeah. Vote. Wait, what's the, is it instrumental?
Best no, I think they actually got vocal album.
Best vocal album.
I think so.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But I think they did.
I gotta do my research.
Yeah, same.
Because voting starts on December 12th.
Okay.
Okay, so I would love to talk about your relationship with your brother.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think it's really beautiful. I know you care so deeply about each other. And the musical entanglements and how you play together is really awesome. What's going on?
Man, actually, it's a very exciting time right now because he just released a record and I'm releasing two projects in 2025, which he has been a huge part of.
Two solo Elena projects? Let's go. Yep. EPs? Two EPs?
We'll see.
Oh, well,
we'll see what the names are and what it's all going to be called.
Yeah.
But this is the year that I'm prioritizing that.
But you guys
and really
are both
going
on
after
each
that.
Other's.
Yeah. And so the reason I bring that up in terms of him is that, you know, there was a big, one of the things I'm most grateful for, I think, about this journey and playing with so many other people is actually when I really look back at it, the artist development that I've had in those situations, I could have never gotten anywhere else. And so I feel like all those things, not that they were leading up to this of me like really coming out as an artist myself, but that they just informed so much of that in many different ways. And when I play with my brother or I work with my brother, it's really like coming home to the root of what all of my music is, right? And like my harmony and my, like all of it. And we just get each other in that way because we come from the same place.
Is there other siblings?
Just two of us.
Oh, just the two of you. Okay. What's the age difference?
3.5 years. He's older.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
I have 2.5 on my brother. And
oh, yeah. It's really the best. Like 2.5, 3.5. It's
And we play together too. And it's like very much
I love
so.
That.
Very much. He plays guitar and keys. And like, yeah. So I feel like when it's sibling music, you accent differently. Together
and you catch stuff,
than non-siblings.
No, you do.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't think no matter how hard or how many years I play with anybody ever in my life, I don't think we'll ever have the like mind twin connection that me and my brother have.
Wow.
Just because not only have we been playing longer, but we just, you know, we're just on the same.
And you guys have always just had so much love for each other.
We have.
And
we
that
have.
Just comes from your parents.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Honestly, shout out to them.
We need to make more Pinder Hughes.
They were like,
the world needs more of these people.
I remember people asking them, like, are you proud of them as musicians? And they would be like, yes, but actually we care far more about how they are as people.
Yeah, you don't always hear people. It's rare to hear people speak that highly of family members consistently.
Yeah. I'm really grateful for him right now because I think in this process of making my records, he has really been the biggest blessing and reminder to really be 100% honest musically and like really be who I want to be and completely take all the outside pressures of everything else of like, oh, but people want me to do this or people want me to do that or they want to hear this from me or they want to hear that. He's like, let it go. find your town and do that.
Amazing.
You know, and sometimes you need a little reminder, even though that's where I'm at in my head. Sometimes you're like, oh, and you know, is this gonna do this, or is this, what is this gonna do? You know, all those different things that you think about. I think it's been really great to have a partner in him, not only in writing, because he's co-producing everything that I'm working on, but also in just the thinking through everything.
And there's no competition or jealousy between you two.
No,
that's amazing.
No, and that's, you know, best. We're really transparent. We're really transparent with each other about that.
Yeah.
Like, if there is something, I'm like, man, like, I'm so proud of you. I really would have loved to get that too, or like, you know, whatever. And he's always like, number one, you will.
Yeah.
Number two, you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also, I think,
or even him with you.
Yeah.
Of your accomplishments. Yeah. Yeah.
I think in the few times that we've felt that way, we've just kind of, it's always a yes and. And I think it's also understandable. I think that's a healthy, understandable part of any friendship, any siblingship, any relationship. I mean, it's like, you know, if we are in the same field or want the same things, and one person might, you know, get it before the other or have an opportunity. And it's always like, it doesn't take away from how excited or proud I am for you. I hope that I will also get there, you know?
Beautiful.
So,
it's amazing.
But we, the it's a very healthy relationship. I love him. So my brother is a real
beautiful.
One.
Clone these people, okay? We need to get the DNA of the Pinderhughes and make millions of more. Put it in the Tesla robot. Make them all Pinderhughes mentality.
Right. No, we're hella proud of each other. Like, I can't tell you how proud. Like, when I saw, we got to go on tour together for the first time. People always call us separately.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, forget that. Let's go together.
Yeah.
So we did a tour together. And it was like him featuring me on his last run.
Oh yeah.
And it was so special.
We should do something together.
It
we
was
gotta do a
we should.
With the two
we
of you.
Should. I'm absolutely so down. We're like looking for more ways to do things together, because we're always, you
we
know,
should make a group
in separate places.
Of sibling groups.
That would be crazy.
A community of sibling groups. Siblings
that
play together.
Really crazy.
And do some things. That'd be great.
There's a lot. There's a good amount too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna do that. I got you guys are like the Jazz Van Halen. You need to just run with that.
We get like Billy and Phineas sometimes. People are like, "Did you guys know?" We're like, "Yeah."
Jazz Halen, let's go. And okay, so I also want to talk about you doing stuff in modern music, like for example, playing with Future.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's.
I told
go.
You I love all the genres.
Let's go. You playing Mask Off?
Yeah.
Is the coolest thing ever.
It's so funny because the people really love that. And I loved that. I had a blast.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know. So the original sample for Mask Off is from, it's actually from like the Selma soundtrack. I think the original soundtrack for, I think, the play or like one of those. And that's where it came from. But when they started doing live, they wanted a flute and they found me. And I actually did like the Mask Off challenge.
Did you?
I did. And then
you're,
I ended up.
I got this.
I ended up doing, I did a couple takes. I was like, one more take.
Yeah. Literally two takes. Okay.
I did that. And then, I mean, I think not only was that incredible because obviously like love his music.
Yes.
A fan. Love that. I came up with a lot of like non-musicians, like a lot of my best girlfriends are like non-musicians. So I know some people are like, okay, every single person that I hang out with, like, we just go to music stuff. Like, I actually have a fair amount of balance where I'm out probably like listening to Future on Friday at the club, hanging with my girls. You know what I mean? I'm not out that much, but like, if I am out,
occasionally
I'm with them.
Yeah. And we're listening to
Future.
I'm really
like inside. But, you know, I'm like, I really listen to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I all the different types of music. So, having the opportunity to do it live and experience, my first gig with them was Coachella.
Yeah, no,
that's main
so
stage
great.
Of Coachella, which is like
main stage of Coachella. Oh,
and they had this like flute thing that was like supposed to rise. It was like a riser, and the flute was like supposed to rise up, and like it goes. It was like such a like dramatic moment. But
so great.
I think that was my first time. Not my first. But one of the things I always remember with different artists, like when I was able to experience like, oh, I want to feel this. Like, this is what I want to see coming back at me. This is what I want to feel from an audience. This is what I want to feel. This is the culture of people that I want to see me. Like, I want it to be young and diverse, and I want it to be like, this is what I want to feel back, you know? And I, that's what I remember about that, man. As well as so many other things. But like, I remember feeling like, wow, like when you see it in front of you and you see it done, it just kind of raises your bar for like the dreams that you see for yourself. They just grow a little bit, you know?
Absolutely.
And I remember seeing that and having different experience with that. In high school, I got to like sing a song with Josh Groban at what's the arena in Boston where the Celtics play, I think.
Oh, is that United?
Well,
Boston Arena, you know what whatever. Mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boston TD Garden.
TD Garden.
Yes.
And I remember that.
And you were singing with Josh Groban.
And I was singing.
Nice.
Because I did this thing with Young Arts and we wrote this song and we sang. And I remember that's the moments where you just dream a little bigger because you see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think
you feel it.
You feel
it. You're a part of it. Yeah.
And you need those reminders to not box yourself in and dream small.
For sure.
Like, you have to keep growing it, you know?
And what's wild for your experience playing with Future at Coachella is, you know, Mask Off, like either his biggest or one of his biggest songs. And the flute line might even be bigger than the actual vocal hook.
Oh, well, everybody asked me to play that line. Like literally that, and like, can you do Napoleon Dynamite?
play flute?
It's like, and I'm like, it's everywhere, you know? And I also sensed a shift, like a musical shift with how people were thinking and seeing a flute. Like then you heard it in all these different rap songs and you heard it. It always been there, but you heard it popping up more and more as a sample or as a main thing or, you know, in these different things. Which obviously for me is amazing and really great because I think, you know, people start to become more familiar with the sound that they associate more classically or more with jazz. And then they start kind of seeing it in popular music in a different way. And I mean, that has happened in different eras, whether it be Gil Scott-Heron or different, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
But it helps in eras when you see it now, you know, and I absolutely know that will help. It's even helped me in playing my shows.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because you've seen like, you've seen as big as it gets in the jazz world. You've been able to experience that stage, right? With Herbie, and you have now seen what it's like in pop culture, like playing Mask Off on flute with Future main stage Coachella. There's not really a bigger flute moment.
It's a pretty big flute moment.
It's like the biggest flute moment like, that there could possibly be until you create whatever the next one is.
Yeah. And I love that. Like I love that for the flute. I love that for, you know, it's an instrument that I love so much, and I love to see people kind of latch onto it in a new way.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to bring the flute to.
Thank you. That's my goal. That's my goal.
World.
That's my
goal. Whole new world. You. Let's go.
That's my goal, really. Yeah. I want people to see it and think of it in the way that, like, I mean, you can't do them at the same time.
Yeah.
But, you know, since I sing and play, I'm like, okay, the way people, like, see, you know, like, John Mayer, they're like, vocals and guitar, like he's equally there.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes,
that's what I want. I want people to be like, okay, boom, they're together. Or even like Alicia Keys, they're like piano. Like, you know what I mean. You think about those things together
for sure,
and that's what I want.
I mean, you're gonna do that.
Thank you.
How can I help?
Man, I appreciate that. I mean, you already are though with everything that you're doing, truly. And I know every artist and person in this music industry is gonna say that. I think.
Oh, word.
Even, you know, I've listened to the pod, and even the way that you're, you know, encouraging and shedding light on the journey of being multiple things within this industry, an artist, a writer, a musician, you know, I think to just continue to big up everybody and allow us all to express that we can be all these different things is the greatest. So thank you for that, truly.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So how can I help?
I'm going to get back to you. I'm going to think. I'm going to call you and be like, so think I have an answer to the question.
I love that you said, you already said something that a lot of people don't say, which is my goal is this.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know the goal, right? And that's so important. And it's really difficult. It's hard to determine what your bullseye is. So the fact that you have that at a young age, you're 10 steps ahead of everybody else.
Man, I'm actually really excited. And I'll tell you all the plans off the pop. They're going to, everybody will see them soon, but
I'll
like
put it on,
I
which
finally,
is not looking. Yeah.
I think for the first time I have the clearest and most honest and like understandable to me and others vision that I have had about how I want to get to where I want to go and in what way. And I've been working on finding that for a long time.
Yes.
And I feel like I finally have it. And it's been a shift just for me, even personally, to have that as an artist and all these different things. And now I'm in execution mode. So that's what like the rest of this year is, and 2025 is for me. So I'm excited. And I know you've seen those shifts with so many people. We have so many different times that we're going through these different phases. And so for me, like, that's a very exciting moment for me.
That's all part of that journey. And that's also why I'm telling you to celebrate those little victories, because when you go into the development mode, there's not a lot of those victories. You kind of take a break for, it can be a year, it can be 2 years, it can be 3 years, depending on what you're trying to reconstruct and remodel and recreate in your mind. Like, it can take a while.
For sure.
And then you get those years where it's like, in the execution years, where it's like achievement.
I know.
You're like, oh. But then when you're doing that, you may be stuck in next, get ready for the next thing, get ready for the next thing, get ready for the next thing. So that's why I'm saying, you know, celebrate it.
Absolutely.
And embrace it, because it's so weird how, like, that's just how our lives flow. You know, like, I know, like, this year definitely for me has been a big preparing for the next year. So then therefore there are less things where I feel like the last 2 years we had a lot of like, we're like, right.
The big moments that you're like, oh, like, I'm showing my.
And everyone's like, man, you're killing it. You're like, we've been building this for 7 years.
Yeah. You're like, I've been killing it. Okay. Just behind inside.
Man, you just released so much. Yeah. Like, and all these things have been behind the scenes for 5 years.
And it takes
so
long.
Working super hard on. And it takes a long time. So that's why speaking to both you and myself.
Listen, I'll be accountability
buddies.
Walk,
you know, like of both, like, just enjoy it. Even if it's just go to salt and straw.
Thank you. Thank you. Next time I'm there and I'm like, I shouldn't be here, but Elmo said I could go. So
got that email today. Yeah. Confirmed a lot. Salt and straw time.
Literally. But no, the process is like, it's so real. Like, I think, you know, the outer world doesn't see how long it takes to make something.
Yeah.
Especially with the internet. You know, we see it and we're like, that was amazing. Where's the next thing? You know, like you're saying. So, yeah.
And you do make it look easy, which also is like the hardest thing to do, right? Yeah. Whenever you see someone doing it, making it look effortless, it's like, they're the best at what they do. Because like I said, ever since I saw you play, then now I'm just like noticing you all the time.
Man, I'm thankful, because I've been in LA a little while now. And I feel like for anybody that's just getting to LA, that's watching this, it takes a little while. Like, it's, you know, year one you meet people, and then year two maybe your name is in a room that it wasn't in before, but you're not quite getting the call yet. And then year three maybe you get the call. So it's like, you know, these different things. And I think I really had to be here to have that happen. So I'm happy that, you know,
it takes 2 years to start in LA. Year one is just learning the freeways.
Yeah. And I think it takes longer here than New York. I really do.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Because it's more spread out. It's bigger.
It's super spread out.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's more people in houses closed off, less bumping. Yep. There's no bumping on the streets.
Yeah, and it's kind of event-based. So if you don't know people, you might not be able to get into whatever event it is that you would meet people at. Whereas I think in New York, it's like, okay, on Tuesdays you go to such and such, and on Wednesdays you go to such and such. And
you can just bump into more people, and there's more of a jazz, especially if you're in the jazz world or the hip-hop or whatever. Like, there's just more... venues doing community, doing local. You have like the most jazz clubs probably in any city in the U.S., if not the world, in New York, right? Hopefully more coming here. You know, Blue Note's coming.
I know. I'm excited.
I don't know if they announced it, but we
I don't think
did.
They did. But but I did know. Yeah.
Been waiting for years, guys.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be really awesome.
We need it so bad in L.A. We need Blue Note L.A.
It's gonna be so great.
Yeah. And we got Blue Whale coming back. All the blue jazz.
I know,
jazz.
Everything. It's great.
I don't know why the word blue goes so deep in jazz, but we'll take it.
It's good. It's a good one.
We'll take it.
It's a good one.
Because there's not enough. Yeah. There's not enough. Yeah. That's great. Well, I want to help. Okay. I want to be contributing. You know, we're putting together some jam jams for next year. You should play.
Yeah. I'm going to get back to you. I will get an answer to you to that question
for
you.
We should start our sibling community.
I'm with all of it.
You know what I'm saying?
I am.
Okay, I would love to talk to you also about your thoughts on this new modern jazz scene. Because I look at you as like one of the most important people in it. And we have some other friends that are all in there. Who are the stars of this new jazz scene, in your opinion?
I'm not good at these type of questions. Because I'm like, everyone is a star.
Everyone. Okay, I'm going to rephrase. I'm gonna get rid of the word star, because that's too much pressure. Who will be number one? Choose one. No, Who are some of your favorite people in the new
that
this
are
new
doing
jazz
these different
world
things?
That make a noise. And,
you know, I think
I'd be paying attention to.
I mean, I have a lot of favorites. Yeah. I love what Emmanuel Wilkins is doing. James Francis, my brother. there's actually so many people though. Like, yeah. And also there's also so many like offshoots of that where yeah. you hear like the harmony and these different musics that might not, you know, people might not be like, that's jazz when they're naming it themselves. Like they might it in the R&B category. They might put it, but I'm really excited about how much you're hearing this little melting pot of musics and people are really loving it.
Yes.
Musicians, non-musicians, people that are not necessarily listening to that culture of music are now going towards it and they're like, oh wow, I love this thing. And you know, I think it's really, I see a shift.
Yes.
And I'm really excited about that.
Yes.
I think it's really, really cool. And shout out to all the people that have been working on that shift for so long, whether it be Terrace or Robert or Kendrick or, you know, have had little pieces of it in their music to help make that happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm really excited. I'm like trying to think. I mean, there's so many. There's like a lot. There's a lot of us that are, you know.
Throw the names.
So I'm never good at names on the spot either. I'm like, oh, I'm missing. It'll come to me afterwards. Like,
bring a list.
I know.
We can post it in the comments if you make the
there
list.
You go.
Yeah. Yeah, jazz is bigger than ever.
Yeah.
And it's only going to keep going. That's what's so great. That is one of the blessings of the internet music world is discoverability and getting rid of genres. You can just call it jazz. What is jazz? Jazz is just like, you know, non-labeled music at this point.
Yeah.
Just, you can call it whatever you want. Just expression music.
I mean, I also think, you know, at its core and when is the time that I was studying it the most in terms of what I love the most about it is jazz is popular music. Like people were out dancing and loving it and it was expressing the signs of the times and what was going on in the world, you know, both culturally and politically, like all these different things that I think are some of the most beautiful things about music. And that's what the heart of it is. And I see that happening, which is really exciting.
We're coming back to the Miles Davis and the Frank Sinatras being the biggest stars
you
in
know?
The world.
You know?
We're coming back to it. Okay, so who are those people?
who are the Miles Davis, the Frank Sinatra? Oh, God. No. I don't have that. I don't have that. But they're out there, though.
Come on.
They're here.
Come on, Elena.
They're here. But like, I also will say something, and this goes for jazz and other. I see people loving like seeing musicians on stage right now.
Yes.
Like
yes.
seeing people do their thing and play and, you know, watching the love that the audience is having for that.
Yes.
I'm like, you know what I mean?
I know. And after a handful of years of musicians going behind LEDs walls.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And which I'm like, we want to see the band.
Yeah,
we want to
see
them do their thing.
Yes.
You know?
It adds a lot to the show.
I'm just loving that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that because I'm like, oh, I got that. I'm ready to play.
Oh, yeah.
So
you already there.
Yeah.
But your goal is to be doing majority of your work being your artist project.
Yes.
Yes.
For this next phase of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
yeah. Not that, you know, obviously... I think a beautiful thing about it is that you can also, I love the collaboration aspect. So
yeah.
I'm happy to always collaborate with other people and play with other people.
Right.
But my next thing is I'm really ready to do my thing and to get that going, which has always been the dream.
Yep.
And you know, I think you can have a lot of, you know, I don't know if the word is guilt, but like about your timing, like, oh, did I take too long or all these different things? And
classic.
You know, we all have bumps in our journey, whatever it is, whether it's industry bumps or other bumps. But like I said, it's all this artist development.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I was not as grounded in my vision as I am now.
Yeah.
Before this. So I think that part of it, I'm really excited, but yes, time is now. And I have a lot of people on my head about that. So it's on the way.
let me remind you of your age. You are very young. You are.
But yeah, that's
already incredibly accomplished.
And that's part of why I moved to LA too, to
yeah.
work on things. Shout out to multiple people. I mean, shout out to Terrace. He's been working with me on a bunch of music and really been a huge champion of mine to be like,
yeah,
no,
your new
like,
song with Terrace is great.
Thank you.
Song with Terrace.
Thank you. I love collaborating with him, obviously, you know.
Yeah. Your voice is amazing on that track.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm excited because a lot of people don't know that, but I do get, like a lot of people don't even know I sing.
Yeah.
But I do, a lot of people are like, wow, you sound like you do on flute. I'm like, that's the biggest compliment you can tell me.
Okay, so
thank you.
Let's tap in on that for a second. So you as a singer versus you as a flautist, you have already said that it's very similar to you.
Yeah.
do you take any different approaches?
Totally, yeah. Totally. But my vibrato is the same. That's one of the ways where you can tell it's actually the same. And I didn't even realize that till I heard myself singing and playing. And I was like, I have a slow vibrato when I play flute, which is a little bit unconventional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And difficult.
And a little difficult. And it's a lot slower than other people. Yeah. And then when I was singing, I was like, oh, that's where I get it from. And I never want to change it. What I really love about singing is I am a story girl. My favorite songwriters are storytellers. My favorite songs are stories. And I think as much as you can do that with an instrument, you can do it a little bit differently and a little bit more specifically accurately to exactly what you're trying to say sometimes with vocals and with words. And so I'm excited to have an opportunity to do that. And I'm excited to have opportunity to do both, because I think there's ways that I can express one thing with one that I can't express with the other in the same way. So I think I'm just loving being able to do that in those different ways. I think I used to really try to separate them more. I was somebody who I think I got, I don't know if it's convinced or told a lot that I had to kind of separate them out and say, okay, well, this is the jazz you, and this is the singer you, and this
definitely
is the
not.
This is the you that does these other things. And I think I actually realized in maybe growing up a little bit that's actually like my greatest superpower is that I can do these different things and that I am all these things that are part of my journey.
Absolutely.
And when I look at the artists that I love the most, like that's what I see in them. But I think sometimes you have to really embrace all of those things because, you know, we get so many boxes, whether it be genre or whether it be who you are, what type of thing you can do. So that's my biggest like thing for myself this year, is to just not box myself and just allow myself to be all those things.
Yeah, where there are two different yous is there's you, the artist, doing your thing, and then you being the hireable musician.
Which,
sure, those are two different skill sets that you could use if they want supporting vocals on top of the flute or whatever. Being hireable, but that's completely different.
Lucky though, Elmo, people hire me, and I am playing their music, but they let me do my thing.
Yes,
I'm like so lucky.
Yes, you are.
I like even for talented. Some like film scores and stuff, they'll call me and be like, "Can you? I just want you to do your thing." And I'm like, "Okay."
Throw that music away.
But yes, it is different. It's different because you know it's your vision, and it's I love supporting people's vision. Yeah. But
well, that
I am
also
excited
just,
about
that shows that people love you as a writer and not just as a musician. You know, I think, flute being an instrument that comes in orchestras and can be classical and everything, a lot of the times just, you know, may be tied to sheet music and play this.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
You come out with a voice and as a writer, both, you know, lyrically, melodically with your instrument. I think that, you're a good writer. People like it.
Thank you.
We'd love to talk about the entrepreneurness, the businessness of you being an artist and a musician and all the things. And because I think a lot of people that listen to this pod, a lot of our peers do, but then also a lot of aspiring people do.
Yeah.
So, and making money in music is hard. You know, like how do you have a career? How do you make it so you live off yourself and your craft? So
for sure.
Right now for you, are you making most of your income from touring with other artists, or is it session work, or how do you balance that? And also how do you make sure, because I'm assuming you're getting all the opportunities just come directly to you. Or do you have a manager?
Well, I'm in between. So no, right now it's me.
Okay.
Although I'm looking soon.
She's very manageable. But she's on time. She's incredibly talented. People just want her to do her thing.
And you know, every artist goes through an in-between period, you know, where you're like,
absolutely.
But finding that team is so half the battle. You got to find that right team.
Yeah. And it's better to have no manager than to have the wrong manager.
Exactly. So when I came to LA, that was a shift for me because pre-LA, I was 100% making all my money on touring. Yep. I was gone. Pretty much, I don't know, 85% of the year on the road. And that was really how I was bringing in everything. And I really wanted to be able to diversify a little bit more.
Yeah.
I also wanted to have time to collaborate at home more.
Yeah.
And so when I came here, I still touring, but a little less and taking a little more time to work on my own stuff.
Yeah.
And then also have been able to do more session work.
Yeah.
Which has been great. I love that. Working with people on either, you know, if it's I get called for film or somebody's, you know, project, their record. I also came out here and was able to do a film scoring internship.
Great.
With a woman named Laura Cartman, who's been an amazing mentor to me. And then I was able to bring in money that way. So it's like a little more from different places, which is what I wanted.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, it flows. Different times call for different things. Sometimes you're like, well, so I'm gonna get up on that road. You know what I mean?
It's a musician. Kinda, yeah, that's the life.
And sometimes, yeah, you know, you're able to take a little bit step back and say, I'm gonna take these months off to do such and such. It also, you know, it's a, every call is great for different reasons, but it depends on the call. I mean, sometimes there's calls and you're like, oh no, I absolutely have got to do this and I'm so excited about it.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I think it's a shift. My biggest thing is I think it is important to diversify your skill set.
Yes.
And that's something that I actually wish I had done sooner. And I'm really thankful for this scoring time, because that was my first time really diving in as an engineer.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know these programs. Wow. I record on them 24/7, but I always have an engineer. I was like, I don't know how to run Pro Tools. And now I'm like, okay, I know I can run these now and I could record myself. I could do everything. And that's also a very LA thing, like, or a post-pandemic thing too, I think, is like, okay, can you record at the house? Yes, I can. I can send you everything. What DAW do you want me to send it on? Like, all these different things that,
that just
are
enables
really helpful.
You so much. Now it, you don't have to wait on everything. Anybody. I think that's the whole thing with being a musician in 2024, 2025, is like, you got to be able to do it all yourself so you're not waiting on anybody. And then you can move at your own pace.
And also, like, I hate to say this, but sometimes it is a convenience thing for people. Like, they might call you over somebody else if you can send the stuff in and they don't have to, like, rent a studio for you to come, you know, do it.
Saves them money.
And saves them money and
saves
time.
Saves money the project, which is important.
Yeah. So I think those are the things, especially now. They weren't as existent when I was coming up. So I think also that's the other thing I was going to say, is just being flexible and going with the times
and
learning as you go.
For sure.
Because technology is such a bigger part of my life than it was when I first started.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you're taught, when you're young, you naively think that just being an amazing instrumentalist or vocalist or is enough. And it's actually not enough.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a hard thing to come to terms with, because you have to be so much more.
Yeah.
And you have to really be a business person. You have to really be like, now I'm getting into my little content time, you know, because I'm like, oh no, that's a part of it. That's a really important part of it.
It's your marketing.
And I think the biggest thing is figuring out how to make that content honest and true to you, but still understand what's going on in the times and be able to do that. Like, okay, if people want like a minute and a half video, maybe you do some that are short and you do some that are long. Maybe you do, so, you know, different things, and being just kind of learning and keeping your eyes wide open. Not being in our little like practice room all the time, because I think then you miss what's going on, and it's really hard, because we gotta know what's going on. We gotta be able to like keep up with what technology and the time is requiring of us, even if we don't like it. And I'm not saying that I'm somebody that came all the way natural to all at the beginning, because it didn't as much. But now I'm actually learning to love it in my own way, which I think is really important.
That's amazing. Well, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I know it's tough.
It's tough. It's hard. It's tough. It's you're, you know, creative entrepreneur, and you got to like manage yourself and CEO yourself and be creative at the same time, and balance between business and creativity can be exhausting.
Yeah. And then, you know, getting people to take you seriously too is tough.
Yeah.
Especially as a girl.
For sure.
It's tough.
It's harder for women in theory. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
I'm here as a fan and a friend and a supporter.
Thank you. Appreciate
Let me know
you
how
likewise.
I can help. You are going to be playing Coachella as a solo artist, and you're going to be singing and playing flute.
I love that you're manifesting this. Let's go.
No, I will bet on it. Where's the betting market? 3 years. Within 3 years. Within 3 years. Well, thank you for being on the pod.
Thank you.
Make a ton of noise. Let's go. Lena Pender, here's everybody.
Thank you.
Let her play every instrument in the world. We love her, Lena.
Go with Elmo. Go with Elmo. Go with Elmo. Go with Elmo. This is the stuff, man.